I was assigned a message on child training. We're doing this book here once or so a month. Encourage everyone to show up and do it. Come, you have children. Some good stuff that goes on there. Grandparents, you show up too, because you encourage your children and grandchildren as your children are trying to train your grandchildren. You encourage them doing that there. All right, what we've got here, the title of is Practical Child Development Skills. Come up with some out of the book here. I took most of them out of Loy Ness's book here. It's practical training out of that there, and I give a lot of credit out of there. We had 25 points. I narrowed them down for took some of them out. Looked like I'm going to have to take a few more out. So y'all hang on, and we'll go through this here, and hopefully we don't be too long for you. You know, there's a reason why God made young people to have children. You ever think of that there? I'm sure you have, because old people probably wouldn't have too many of them, and it wouldn't populate the earth too good, because we get back, and we can't, tolerance factor for noise and things that go on with young children are not as good as what the youngsters are. I guess ignorance is bliss, I'd say, you know, for the youngsters that keep having children. So that's the way God wants it, like we said before, populate the earth. And I had a couple verses here, but Jared stole my thunder here and read most of them already here. And so we'll just skip some of these verses. There. Proverbs 22:6. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he will not depart of it. We heard it many times. We know that that is something that is very good. It works. Train when he's old there. And it goes on, talks about in Proverbs 13:24, he that spareth his rod hateth his son, but he that loveth him chasteneth him. So all these things are biblical things here. It's one little poem here I came across here. It's called Ain't. It's a boy's fascination with God's creation. He was just a little boy on a week's first day, wandering home from Bible school and dwindling on the way. He scuffed his shoes to the grass. He found a caterpillar. He found a fluffy milkweed pod and blew out all the filler. A bird's nest in the tree overhead, so wisely placed up high, was just another wonder that caught his eager eye. The neighbor watched his zigzag course and hailed him from the lawn, asking where he'd been all that day and what's going on. I've been to Bible school, he said, and turned a piece aside. Picking up a wiggly worm, he replied, I've learned a lot about God. Very fine way, the neighbor said, for a boy to spend his time. Yet tell me, if you'll tell me where God is, I'll give you a brand new dime. Quick as a flash, the answer came. Nor were his accents faint. I'll give you a dollar, mister, if you can tell me where God ain't. Wow. You know, what does it take to develop that character in a youngster that come up with an answer that fast, that was able to respond in a way of the brilliantness of that? Tell me where God ain't. You know, God's everywhere. And the boy seen that as he was holding that little worm or the caterpillar and all this here. The different points I have here, first one here, one of them, I'm going to go through these here. Different ways that we need to train our children. I'm not going to try to tell you that I'm the perfect father, that I have all these down pat. You know that already. But here's some things that work that way in developing children that can come up into when they get older in life. By the way, Clayton, you know, don't say you didn't preach a message this morning. A lot of preachers would have spent hours trying to say what you did through those tears. That was beautiful. And God bless you in that. And so that, you know, as we're raising these children in that area, there's so many ways we can pull together, help each other, and that there. Okay, faith in God is one of them. You know, we have the natural instinct to look at someone higher than ourselves. That's born in us. We go look to someone higher. people, children look to someone that they can look up to. And probably the first one they do is their father. He's their earthly God. And that's our goal as a Christian home, is to draw these children, corral them, and bring them to God there. We have a Christian home that definitely has an advantage, because we have all this training available to us. There's so many secular people out in the world that try their best and don't know how, don't have the tools. We have tools. We can do that. Teach them faith in God, observing Sunday as the Lord's Day, you know, having them being converted to Christ at early age, much quick as we can. They can gain a knowledge of Christ as salvation to them. Should be our number one goal. You know, before all the earthly fame, before the accolades of the things that come in earthly glory, money, anything like that. Train them, point them to God, that they can observe who God is in their life, and that they have a love for the Bible. Another one here is reverence. These are not in particularly any order. So let's look at reverence a little bit. How do we develop reverence? How do we push that onto our children to let them know that they need to have reverence wherever they're at there? Reverence towards God. A healthy fear of God is very important there. You know, God's presence in their life. You know, let them know that, that they can pick up a bird and see God in that bird. Whatever it is, that they can see that there. To be able to take a child and have reverence in church is one thing too. You know, this wiggly little creature, not the right word for it, but this being, this special being that God have, that sometimes we get that feeling as they're wiggling there, you know, how do I make them sit still in church? You know, it's not something that's going to happen overnight. It takes development, training from the get-go, when they're sitting there. One area that I seen in one of the books, I thought that's pretty neat there. You know, being able to, a lot of times we'll use a verse, you know, we'll bring out the rod and take them outside and, you know, whip them good, bring them back in, and don't bring out, whip them again. But another way it works very effectively is to, when they're like that, won't hold still, take them outside and hold them real tight. Hold them real tight and be talking to them. Comforting words, you know, tell them you love them, but you are going to sit still. Don't let them move. You know, squeeze them tight, and they try to squirm. Then when they finally relax, bring them back in, sit them down again. And probably about two times later, you're doing the same thing again. You take about the third time, they go out. You know, this is not working there. And that way you can effectively reach their mind that way. And instead of just, you know, spanking them and, you know, getting our anger out on there, whatever there. So just one of the things that can be done with that there. Reverence. Sunday school. Teach them how to behave in Sunday school. Teach them how to, in all their classes that they go with this year. Okay. You know, there's one area in this here I noticed when we were in, down Jamaica there, a month ago. Our children there, we have six children there, and I noticed this time that our children there were excellent behaved. We'd sit into a group meeting and having for like an hour at a time, and I noticed these little wiggle worms, they were sitting there. They were being behaved, and then I commented on that. And I think, you know, we changed a lot of our discipline methods there. We were forced to by the state, where we no longer can do corporal punishment. And we had to do another way, and we received training in that, and the girls were trained how to spend more time with them, developing a thought process to them, explaining to them why they're doing this here, why you need it, no, you can't, and hold them down, make sure they're right. And I seen a big difference in that, and I think it can work that way with that. Honor, another area of reverence. Another one is respect for parents. That respect goes both ways. The children need to respect the parents. The parents need to respect each other. And that's very important, that we as parents must be firm but not dictators. We can not be kind of a master-slave type situation there, but we need to be firm. And any type of strictness without one key ingredient is going to adding for a disaster, and that key ingredient is love. If we don't have love in our discipline, any of these here, then we cannot have the respect of the parents or the children, vice versa with that. So love is a key that has to be ingredient in there. Okay, another respect area, respect for others. This comes in teachers, employees, training these children up. Now, what we've seen today, a little bit young for that, as they grow up, just blink your eye, they're going to be up here like this. Teaching them how to respect their employers, their teachers, and how then they can have proper respect for them. And it goes through with law enforcement. And all these areas here, they see these things here as we teach them there. There's the playmates are one thing, is we can have respect for the playmates. You know, don't take advantage of them, and they need to be able to share their toys, share their books, whatever they're doing. Showing that is very important. That'll teach it to be coming later there with that there. Another area, self-respect or healthy self-esteem. We need to teach that in our children to respect themselves, that they are somebody. And that's an issue that is embedded in a lot of people's mind, self-esteem. I'm not anything. You know, we don't let our children grow up to have that there, because to be successful children, if they have that, they're gonna have a lot of problems in that there. So teach them that who they are. They're okay in God. You know, they might not be as brilliant as someone else, but you're okay in God's eyes. God loves you like you are. To have a healthy self-esteem is very important there. A mature self-esteem. You know, and also in this here, self-respect, you can't get that by overly criticizing your child. You knock him down time and time again. Sad stories come out there of this here. You'll never amount to anything. You know, you're good for nothing. That doesn't get it. We have to knock that off and think positive ways that we can teach self-respect into our children. For every time you give a negative comment, you should give a positive comment. Yeah, that's something I heard some time ago, and you know, I probably failed on that many times because I'm one that I'm very, very quick to give critical advice, you know, with that. And it really, I think of it constantly now. How many times have I went back and said, you know, to the son or daughter that, you know, yeah, you appreciate this, what you did was a good job here, that there. Give a positive comment. It'll go a long ways in developing that healthy self-esteem. Conduct in church. You know, teach them what church is. It's not a place for entertainment, for running around. Teaching them that there is, this time to be still. You know, after church, whatever. Learn to play it in moderation and not to be tearing things up. And all that's part of that there with a healthy church there. Okay, honesty. Teaching them honesty and truthfulness. These have been trained. They have to be trained from early on. There's a quote here: a child must develop a consciousness against dishonesty. Catch that. We have to develop that a consciousness against dishonesty in order to develop honesty in someone. Knowing what is wrong, it will help that in there. Truthfulness and honesty is so very important. Many people are taught how not to get caught. And you see that in a lot of third world countries. You know, they tell people, their children, go out and steal, but don't do it this way, you'll get caught. You know, bring stuff home, but don't get caught. And so get fussed out for not being, having the proper thieving methods of that there, of taking shoplifting and things like that. teach them honesty and truthfulness with that there. Faith in God, very important. We have a natural instinct to look at someone higher than ourselves. We did that already. I'm nervous. Trying to get done here. Courtesy and table manners. You know, don't talk. Let your children call someone or hear you say, that old man. Yeah, Jerry said, I'm the oldest one in here. If you want to call me old man, that's okay. I can handle it. But it's not proper in that there. Courtesy and table manners. Talk to people. You know, teach your children to say, Mr. Yeah, this is Mr. Jones here. See what he did for you here? It's good to that. We're slacking on that there. Have proper courtesy, you know, some words, you know, thank you. Now you go back and tell him he gave you that piece of candy, he gave you that toy, tell him thank you. We all know that, but remind you to do that. It's very important. Or you go first, you know. Let make your children go back. You know, the food's ready. No, we're going to let, you know, Mrs. Jones go first. See, she's got a child here. You sit back and wait. And then, I want to go. No, it's okay. You stay there. And that helps them with that there, courtesy and table manners. You know, neither be an example there. Wait to eat your pie till everyone else gets their pie. And no, I want to eat mine. I got mine. I ain't gonna wait on the others. No, you just wait till the others get it. It's okay. You're not gonna die. Your pie is not gonna get old. Diligent teaching our children to work hard. Give your child's chores to complete. Notice I said complete. Don't give your children chores and then, he messed up again. Just go on out and play. I'll do it. Don't do that. That's so harmful to their self-esteem, to their future development. They'll think, mom will do it later anyway. I ain't going to fix my bed. Mom will fix it anyway. Or, you know, it's all this here. It's not good. To do that. Everything we do, do it well. You know, focus on your schoolwork and that there. You know, teaching them there to develop all these areas in this year. Diligence, work hard. And don't compare your children with other children in diligence. You'll knock them down, you know. I wasn't the smartest one in school. I looked up to the others that were smarter than me. How can they get A's and stuff when I can't get it at all? And, you know, don't compare it to that there. You know, work hard with the ability that they have. And that'll encourage diligence. It'll make them try harder in the future there with that there. Toys and play, 15. Teach your children how to share toys from the get-go because out of the gate, they don't want to share. They're stingy. They're born stingy. They just don't care about anyone else. You have to teach it. You got to drive it out of them. And having too many toys does not help that there. It makes some children discontent. You know, don't discourage them when they try. The story about this youngster, his father was a truck farmer, grew tomatoes and went out and grew all this kind of stuff, vegetables, and he come home one day and two boys, they done hammered up a little hotbed up there, got some dirt in there, and they were planting stuff just like Dad did out in the field. They was imitating him, and he come in and, what did y'all plant in there? Those are weeds. I get enough weeds out in there, took and shoveled all of them out of there and threw them on a pile. And those boys, they never got over that from their youth of the hurtness. They were trying, and then he just destroyed it. And that's not healthy. Don't discourage them when they try. It's easy to do that. And, you know, they don't put the dishes in the proper place on the shelf, you know. Yeah, hey, it's okay. You'll get over it, and thank them for trying. Neatness and order. Teach them to put their things away. And orderly homes, on time for church and school. You know, we function best when we have things in order. God made The whole world is in order. He made the stars function at a certain time. He develops order. He created us for to have order. And if we get out of that sequence, things go kind of haywire. Keep things in order and teach them that there, neatness and order. Be thrifty. Teach them the value of money, that money doesn't grow on trees. And what's the saying, waste not, want not. Teach that to them, that everything they do, when they leave that heater on in the room, in this winter, I had a cold winter, the heater's running all the time. I went by and made cutting heaters off all during the day. You know, tell them, you know, someone has to pay for that electricity. I had to work for that that electricity that just going up in the air. Teach them the value of money, all these things that they throw away. Let them know that you can't do that. Thrifty is very important. Don't spoil your children by giving them too much. Sense of responsibility. Let them suffer from their misdeeds or miscalculation. You know, that sounds kind of cruel. Let them suffer. Yeah, it's okay if they're standing underneath a table somewhere, a little toddler, and you see he's getting ready to get up. Oh, no, don't catch him before he hits his head. Let him hit his head. It's okay. You common sense, you know, with that there. It's okay to hit your head. That's why we learn the best. He'll know about twice there. He'll stay away from other bigger things. It's the way of God protecting him in the future with bigger things that could hurt him there. I learned that. I can't do that. It's okay. Let him hit his head. Sounds mean, but it's okay. A thing of trust there, too. He comes in there. Let him stand on a table and jump in your arms. Catch him. It's all part of that. There. Responsibility there. Teach them to do chores on time. You know, they trash their toys, leave it out, and it gets all rusted up. Don't go buy them another one right away. Let them use that one. Hey, no, you left it out. That's all you get. That's okay. That teaches them responsibility. And when they grow up, they'll learn that there. Hospitality. Everyone, two more minutes. Everyone likes kindness to shower them. We all like that. Learn how to be hospitable to one another. How to be kind to others as they come into your home. How do you treat your guests? Your children are watching you. As they watch you, they're going to learn. That's how God is, because of the way our parents do. Keep that in mind, how we treat others. Our children are watching ourselves. Humility. We need to put this into them. Children need to have a sense of humility. Don't think, make them grow up, oh, you're the smartest boy in school, why do they have beauty pageants anyway for girls? You know, everything about that's about the vainest thing. Get a button, you know, they process elimination, all these, no, you're not as pretty as her, she's prettier than you, and I don't get it. You know, why would his parents want to put her children in a beauty pageant like that? I never won one. Or what about running up the score? You know, that's in humility. I was impressed by a basketball team a couple weeks ago when we were playing at one church there, the one school, and we were beating them by 5 points at the end, and then it got down to, I think we were beating them by two, and the bell was about ready to ring, and I think Hank told them just to slow down. And we could have went up, probably scored again. And he said, just slow down, stop. That's okay. That's great to do that. And not to take advantage of people when you don't rub it in when you're beating someone like that. Show humility in that there. You know, help the children to be a good loser. Show them why it's okay to lose and all that there. Last one, independence and self-help. Let your children, you know, pick up the spoon. Let them learn how to eat themselves. When you don't want it up here, it won't be able to come in pretty soon there. Let them pick up the spoon, make a mess of it. It's okay. You know, clean up there. That's how they learn. Show that independence, that they can do it themselves. And proper guidance into independence like that is very important. And that's our objective, is to train these children when they grow up and leave these benches, that they go out into the world, be able to function in society in an orderly manner. And it's something that you look back and proud of them. And that's what our goal is as parents, is to do that. And the last thing here, should be included in every area of this is love. You know, love opens up many doors that we have to correct our children. Sometimes love carries a stick, and we have to use, you know, force in that there. But most of the time, love can be administered in a way that we do not have to raise our voice. We do not have to use a stick in order to get the correction that's needed. And also, the real love comes from God. You know, if we don't have that love inside our heart and we try to tell our children about it, they see through us. First thing that we need to do is make sure that God is the center of our life and our correction and our child raising, and then He can be able to pour that love through us into our children, and then we can be happy with the results of that. Thank you very much.